News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Thank you indeed for talking to us this morning. You are now officially the Fine Gael nominee for the presidential contest. If you're elected president next month, what kind of president will you be?
Well, Shane, I want to be a president because I believe it's a role that unites people, a role that brings people together, that listens, supports and represents all of us on this island, no matter where we come from or what our background is. You know, we're living in a very divisive world, and I believe that the president can be a unifying force in this country who brings people together. And I've always sought to break down barriers and reach out the hand of friendship. So I want to focus on using the presidency to listen to people, to hear their story, and where there is division, try and facilitate reconciliation and understanding. And, you know, I was very proud to lead the 1916 centenary commemorations. I am very proud of how we as a nation commemorated that very complex and very formative chapter in our history. So if you remember, there was a lot of concern at the time in the lead up to those commemorations that they could be very divisive. And what we actually saw was the opposite. The commemorations brought people together and it brought communities together, and there was a real sense of national pride and identity. And I think we need to get back to that, that sense of community, that sense of bringing people together and building bridges. And that'll be very much at the centre of my campaign.
And when you're talking about reconciliation, in practical terms, what are you talking? I mean, you're talking about reaching out to Ulster Unionists, for example. Obviously, you come from an Ulster Presbyterian background yourself. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I want to be a president, of course, for all the people on this island. Yes, I come from a Presbyterian background. I was reared on a farm about 6 miles from Northern Ireland. So I understand what it's like to live on the border. And indeed, I often look back and think what it was like in 1921 when the border was formed. You know, Catholics went to sleep as Irish and woke up as British citizens. And what it was like for Protestants who went to sleep as British and they woke up as Irish citizens. So I really do have a deep understanding of their very real concerns and how many felt abandoned on both sides of the border and they had to adjust to new circumstances. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember what it was like during the Troubles when you were told by your parents to keep your head down and to keep quiet and to say nothing that was going to bring trouble or attention to your family. And I have no doubt that same advice was given to in Catholic homes to Catholic children on the other side of the border. But what can I say is thankfully that violence is gone, but peace is something we still have to work on. And I do feel I'm uniquely placed to reach out to communities in Northern Ireland and build on the good work already done in breaking down barriers and building trust. And it's only when we have a united people that I believe we can have a united Ireland.
Okay, you mentioned United Ireland. Your presidential rival, Catherine Connolly, she's spoken about using her voice in every way possible for a united Ireland. Is that something you would do?
Yeah, well, I've said before that I'm a very proud Ulster woman. I'm a very proud Irish woman. And I'm a very proud Republican in the spirit of liberty, equality and fraternity. And that's in the tradition of Wolfe Tone, of Henry John McCracken and the United Irishmen. And I love this country and it has made me everything I am and it has given me everything I have. So regardless of my religious background, I believe that I am living proof that this country treated me fairly. It gave me every opportunity to realise my full potential. And I really hope that I can be a beacon of trust and hope for communities right across Northern Ireland. You know, our Taoiseach Micheál Martin set up the Shared Island Fund, and that's an excellent initiative that I fully supported at the time. And that encourages cross-border cooperation. And I really want to build on this work and move forward in that spirit of reconciliation, you know, by building trust, by deepening relationships and understanding. So we need conversations. And as president, my door would always be open for those conversations.
Fair enough. And I take the point you're making about as a Protestant who, as a Presbyterian who grew up in the North, you can make that point to Ulster Unionists. But Catherine Connolly did go further. She talked about being a voice for a united Ireland. Is that the role of a president, or is that going too far, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think we need the conversations. And as I said, my door would be open and, we could have those conversations, but they have to be inclusive. And we have to reach deep into communities because we need to reach out to those people that don't normally come forward. And there are many in communities, not just in Northern Ireland, but in this country as well. We need to reach out to communities. And I feel the role of the president can facilitate those conversations. And as I said, it's not until that we have trust and a united people that we move on to a united Ireland. We must have that first.
Okay. Can I ask you about the incumbent president, Michael D. Higgins? He has been accused many times of going beyond the constitutional restraints of the office. Will you be as outspoken on issues as Michael D. Higgins has been, or will you be a different kind of president?
Well, I think Michael D. Higgins has done a very good job as president, and he has served our country well. I worked closely with him during the commemorations, and I've travelled on a state visit with him. He's a man of immense passion, and his whole life has been about social justice. And when he has seen injustice in the world, you know, he's spoken out against it. So if I was president, I would operate within the constitutional limits of the role. Now, there's no point in people promising in this election that they're going to solve every problem in the country, because that's not the role of the president. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a straight talker. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. So, of course, if I felt there was an issue that I should speak out on, I would do so. But I would be very careful not to breach the constitutional limits of the role of the president.
Do you think Michael D. Higgins did that at times?
Look, I don't. I think he did a very good job, and I don't think that he represented what the people were thinking. He was a conscience of the nation, and as I said, I think he did a very good job.
But when other candidates, potential candidates, talk about housing being the key issue, are you saying is it your role? That's not the job of the president.
What I'm saying is, people elect the government every 5 years. It's the job of the government to set those policies. The role of the president is to uphold the constitution, to sign legislation. If the president wants advice, they call in the Council of State, and it's either sign the legislation or refer to the Supreme Court to test its constitutionality. Those are the main roles of the president, the dissolution of the Dáil when requested by government. So I think the president's role is very clearly defined in the constitution. It's the job of government to deal with the day-to-day running of the country.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. The president's salary, I think I'm right in saying it's something of the order of about €332,000. I think Michael D. Higgins, for a period of time, waived that, but then there was a constitutional issue about the salary needing to be 10% more than the Chief Justice. We won't get into that. Anyway, bottom line question, will you take the full presidential salary?
Yeah, well, I would do as Michael Higgins has done. He was a former minister like myself. I think the position he has taken is he accepts the salary, but he has gifted his ministerial pension to the state while he was president, and I would do the same.
Okay. Do you speak Irish?
No, Neil in Kilcoggan, but I speak a couple of focal. I learned Irish at school. I passed Irish in my leaving cert, and like a lot of people in this country, I went out to the world of work and didn't use Irish. But I have been back to the Gaeltacht in 2017 when I was Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht. And I found that it was coming back to me. And I promise that if I am elected as president, that I will return to the Gaeltacht and I will learn Irish.
Okay, Mahu. Does a country where Fine Gael has been in power for 14 years, the last 14 years, non-stop, does it really need a Fine Gael president too?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I won't be a Fine Gael president. The president is above party politics, and I want to be a president for all the people on our island. And yes, I have served in government. Did I get everything right? No, I didn't. But I always tried my best. I look at Michael D. Higgins, he's a former government minister, and I honestly think that that experience stood to him in the presidency, and he has done our country proud over the last 14 years. I'd ask people to judge me on my record in the ministries I've held, whether that was bringing people together during the commemorations, whether that was supporting businesses during Brexit, responding to the pandemic at a time of national crisis, or rolling out inclusive initiatives like the hot school meals for primary school children, or supporting and investing in our local communities right across the country. That's my track record in the jobs I've held.
Some in the media have pointed out to other elements of your track record, past controversies, in particular your time as Social Protection Minister. There was a huge amount of criticism in relation to the Green Paper that your department published on disability. A lot of criticism of that from the disability community. Do you expect criticism of that, and how do you respond to the criticism? I've seen in even in recent days, Senator Tom Clonan, I think it was, tweeting in relation to that with the hashtag not my president.
Yeah, well, I have seen some coverage on that, and to be quite honest with you, I find it hurtful, because I have never tried to cause distress to anyone. I've always advocated for disabled people and their rights throughout my career. And just to be clear, the Green Paper was only ever a public consultation document. And anybody who reads it, just look at page one of the paper and you'll see that. People can Google it, they can look it up for themselves. Consultation document. So it was a consultation with all of the different groups to try and start a conversation on how we might go about improving disability payments for people in this country. And just during that consultation, I listened to people's views, including Senator Clonan, and I met him directly. I spent a good deal of time with him discussing it. I listened to his concerns. I listened to the concerns of others. And based on those genuine concerns, I decided not to proceed with it. So I have always believed in consultation. I've always believed in hearing people's views. And we had a similar consultation on the likes of auto enrolment and the new pay related benefit. The feedback was positive and some people suggested changes. And I have
So do you think the criticism was unfair then?
Well, it was a consultation document and people had concerns about it and that's why I didn't proceed with it. And I'll ask people to judge me on my record in terms of what I did as Minister for Social Protection. I increased the disability and carers payments. I provided a cost of living support. I passed legislation to provide a pension to long-term carers. I extended carers benefit to the self-employed. There's a free travel pass now for people medically unable to drive. I worked with I worked with a number of organisations with that. So what I want to say is I have always listened to people. I have always taken on board their views. And because of that, the Green Paper was withdrawn.
We have that point, Heather. Just final question. You're up against Catherine Connolly and then one of Jim Gavin or Billy Keller. I think most people expect it to be Jim Gavin, but who knows? Do you think there'll be more candidates? Do you expect Bob Geldof to run or Sinn Féin to run or Joanna Donnelly to run?
Look, there's a lot of speculation going on. I heard Bob Geldof's name mentioned yesterday, and I have to say it brought me back to the Boomtown Rats, and it reminded me of that song that many of us like, was "I Don't Like Mondays."
He also wrote a song about called "Banana Republic," I think, as well, which might be dragged up.
It could, but I have to say that "Don't Like Mondays" was one that a lot of us resonated with at the time when we had to get up on a Monday morning. Look, I know Catherine Connolly, I know Billy Kelleher from the Dáil, and I wouldn't agree with them on everything, but they're two very decent, hard-working people. I don't know Jim Gavin personally, but I know he's a very good football manager with Dublin. So whatever the lineup, I wish everybody well, and I do hope we can have
a
good...
So not a dirty campaign as far as you're concerned, because they can be pretty nasty.
No, well, I hope we have a good, clean campaign, and at the end of the day, the people will make up their mind.
Okay. Heather Humphreys, presidential candidate, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.